Oh, hi.
Hi, welcome back. It's so good to have you with us again on the next edition of
Monday
Night Live.
Tell us where you are, where you're watching from. We always love seeing that because it's super cool to see all the different places that people are watching from. Anywhere from right down the road from where we are to way across the pond.
Yeah, tell us what city, what country, what states are you watching from? Nashville? Are you just up the road? Where's the farthest spot anybody's watching from? Anybody in Thailand?
Or Germany.
Germany, that's okay. Hey. Anybody can beat Germany?
Vesta.
I like it.
Beautiful
like
name.
It. Yes.
If I'm saying it right, I'm sorry if I'm not. Sharon, Tennessee.
All right. Hey, neighbor.
Alaska.
Nice. Nisha wants to do an Alaskan cruise.
I do.
Oh, it's kind of cold.
It looks beautiful.
It does look beautiful. We can look at pictures on
Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Shawnee.
San Antonio.
All right.
Columbia, Tennessee. That is right down the road from where Dr. Berry grew up.
My old stomping grounds.
Hole in the wall.
Hope you don't know any stories about me from my past. If you do, don't share them.
Florida, Virginia, Texas.
Right.
We love all of our Texas people. We miss Texas a whole lot.
Heck yeah. If you're on Facebook, you are welcome to start a watch party and invite all your friends to watch this with you. Tonight, we're going to be talking about intermittent fasting, some of the most common myths out there, and then also some of the just black and white facts that not only have we seen in our lives, but hundreds of thousands of people doing intermittent fasting have seen. We're going to tell you about a new book about intermittent fasting that's on the market now that I think is one of the best books that I've read. Well, I'm listening to it on Audible, but I think it's one of the most helpful books for a beginner just starting with intermittent fasting. Breaks it down so simply, so effortlessly, and naturally, because fasting is natural.
Ireland.
Ireland.
What's up, Ireland? We really want to come see you.
We're going to come see
Scotland too.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, all the places we cannot go right now.
I have to go back to the places of my ancestors.
London, one of our favorite places.
Nisha doesn't miss London at all, do you?
Right.
Yeah.
I love my London town.
Yeah. Anybody watching from Rome?
Yes.
Italy?
London and Rome, two favorite cities.
I mean, or Rome, Georgia. That's fine.
Millington, Tennessee. What's up, Millington?
Right.
Hey. Okay, so fasting.
Yes.
What are we going to talk about first?
So I posted a YouTube video today on my YouTube channel.
On your YouTube channel?
Yeah.
You posted
about
a YouTube video.
The seven myths of fasting. Because lately I've been seeing all these articles in mainstream media, magazines, news articles, about, intermittent fasting might cause this, might cause that. And I think that all of us intermittent fasters are starting to cut into the profits of some certain unnamed corporations, because all of a sudden these articles are starting to come out talking about, fasting might make your skin fall off. You know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous stuff. And so we wanted to talk about some of the facts of fasting and some of the myths of fasting that we've heard, and then just take as many questions from you about fasting questions you have as we can in the remainder of the hour. What do you think? Any new business, old business, house cleaning?
I think the main thing is that, hey, we're still here.
Yeah, we're still here.
We're still here.
Still here.
And we're not going anywhere. We're still going to be on Facebook and YouTube. Don't worry. We're not going anywhere. But I want to say that several of our really good friends in the keto sphere have had issues with their Instagrams being taken down, or Thomas DeLauer had a huge video taken down. So keep in mind, things may happen, and you need follow us on as many things as you can follow us. That way we can communicate with you guys in case something does happen.
Yeah, hopefully nothing will.
Nothing will. But you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
That's it.
That's
right,
my motto.
And so we've got accounts now on Parler,
MeWe.
I've got an account on Gab. I got an account on Vero. You ever heard of Vero? So we're just trying to get accounts started all over the place. So in case something does happen, we'll still be there for you.
Yeah, we're just trying to get on as many things as possible so we can, like we said, if something happened, be able to tell you guys, hey, this happened.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
What's up?
Exactly.
So that's the main thing. That's the main order of business. It's just a little bit crazy. It was big accounts too. Like Thomas Lauer is a huge YouTuber. He's huge. And
it's one of his older videos, but it was a huge keto video. It had millions of views. And YouTube said that he deleted it. That's what they saw when they looked at their system. And he's like, no. I didn't delete my own hugely popular video. No. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on. It could have been just an accident. Who knows? But we're not taking any chances. We're trying to diversify and be as resilient as we possibly can.
We err on the side of caution.
Yeah. We've been taught to do that.
Yes, we have. So if our fellow colleagues are being done that way, we should prepare for it. So Keto Savage and the Keto Coach, which is our good friend Jamie.
Lauren?
No, it's called Keto Coach. It's their app, you know. Dr. Jamie, some of you follow her, and our friend Goody Beats, that's their platform that they've been doing, and that got censored too. So it's just, you know, it's kind of worrisome that happened.
Yeah, a little worrisome, but so we're taking steps to be prepared, but we're hoping for the best as always.
Okay, so fasting 101, what's the first thing we need to talk about?
So first of all, fasting, one of the myths out there, we'll start with a myth, is that it's unnatural or it's dangerous or it's not normal to fast. And I mean, that nothing can be further from the truth. How is that just ridiculous?
Yeah, it's pretty insane because it's a thing that we all do, whether we are doing it on purpose or not, because what do we do when we go to sleep?
Yeah, I mean, every single one of us on the planet fasts for at least 7 or 8 hours every single day of our life because you're not eating when you're asleep. So right off the bat, that makes it kind of silly. Then when you add to the fact that every culture, every human being since the beginning, whenever you believe that was, has fasted. Every major religion before they were modernized and made a little less challenging had fasting as a major part of their religion. And it's been known for thousands of years that fasting is good for you. Fasting is good. It's a good practice. It builds character. It also improves health. So it's just a dumb myth, but you'll see that out there sometimes.
Yeah, and then they seem to target who it's not good for as well, which is super frustrating because one of the targeted people is Hashimoto's, people with Hashimoto's. I have Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism, that kind of thing. And what's super frustrating about that is that had I listened to those people and just never intermittent fasted or extended fasting did that, I would have never known for myself what my body is capable of doing.
Yeah.
And for someone to tell me what I am capable of doing when I don't even know is very infuriating for me.
There's no telling how many women out there don't fast and they don't receive any of the amazing benefits of fasting because they're afraid to fast because they read an article in Woman's Day or something that said that women shouldn't fast. And then how many people with thyroid conditions or Hashimoto's are just like, I can't fast.
Right. So I think intermittent fasting is very, like, you have to know your body and you have to be ready to take that on. And if you're early in your keto, it might be harder. And if you're further in, then it may be easier. But the first time I fasted, I didn't do so well. But if I had just given up and not done it again, some of you guys saw the video. I failed miserably. But then I did a 24-hour and actually went over 24 hours. And I was like through the roof energy, super focused. I felt like I took the limitless pill.
Yep.
And what if I had just listened to somebody who told me, no, you have Hashimoto's, you can't fast. I would have never known that about myself and that fasting could feel that good and I could be this like Wonder Woman. It was awesome.
I think fasting is very empowering.
Yeah.
And I think it really helps you have a level of control over your life that you're like, oh, I could totally do that. If I was abducted and held prisoner, I could go for 2 days without eating. It wouldn't even be a thing at all. That would not bother me. But it's really maligned in the mainstream media, and it really aggravates me. Now, I'll tell you a fasting fact. If you're still eating a high-carbohydrate diet, still eating the standard Western crap diet, it's going to be much harder for you to fast for longer periods of time because you're not moving your hunger and satiety hormones in the right direction. And so if you're going to start fasting, I highly encourage you to start eating lots of good, healthy fat and good, healthy protein in the form of fatty meat. That's going to make it so much easier for for you to fast for much longer periods of time.
Yeah. Somebody asked about breastfeeding and fasting. Yeah.
So for pregnant women and for breastfeeding women, we never recommend longer fasts. Okay. But it's perfectly safe and acceptable to do a 12 to a 16 hour fast while you're pregnant or breastfeeding, as long as when you do break your fast, you're not breaking your fast with Cheez-Its and Jell-O and Doritos. You're breaking your fast with good, high protein, high fat, fatty meat, eggs, butter, cheese, real foods that are nutrient dense, that contain all of the vitamins and minerals and amino acids and fatty acids that you need, and that you don't calorie restrict and you don't portion control. So if you're pregnant or you're breastfeeding, when you break your fast, you eat until you're comfortably stuffed. You do not go by any guidelines. Oh, have one half cup of this. No, if it's a good keto food, you eat that until you're full.
I did not fast when I was pregnant until the last trimester, and I wasn't doing it on purpose. I do intuitive eating. And so I would eat when I was hungry, and sometimes I would be at 10 a.m. and sometimes I would be at 2 p.m. It would depend. And I don't think if you've never fasted before and you're pregnant, it's just not necessary to fast when you're pregnant. So don't
That's right.
do it
it's,
if
yeah,
you,
it's not necessary.
Like, there's no reason to. Only
Agreed.
Just intuitively fast.
But even in that case, it's not dangerous to do a 12 to 16 hour fast. It's just not dangerous at all. There's no research that supports that.
Yeah,
but when you now tell me this, how many when you were doing that unintentional fasting in your third trimester, mm-hmm. when you broke your fast, you would just have something like you'd pick at a house salad and have a glass of water?
No. I don't know. I ate a lot. Yeah. I ate a lot.
You should have eaten a lot because you're pregnant.
But also, if you've never done keto and you've just had a baby, that's also probably not the best time to start keto or start intermittent fasting. Yeah. Like, you need to transition. You don't want to put extra stress on your body. You've been through childbirth. Don't do that to yourself.
Yep.
Give yourself time to adjust. Maybe do low carb and just ease into it. Just don't do anything extreme at any point in the development of a baby.
Great advice. Yep.
You know, take it easy.
There's no rush.
Yeah. Eat whole foods. That's a really good way to start. If it doesn't come in a package, that's better than anything else. Also, while breastfeeding, I intermittent fast a lot. And I haven't had any issues, but I've been doing this a long time. My body's adapted to this process. And I think that that's why I didn't have any issues with my breast milk, because not only was my body used to this, but I eat a lot when I break my fast.
Another intermittent fasting myth: if you fast, you're going to be tired and you're going to run out of energy and you're going to have fatigue. And you just heard Nisha's own personal testimony that the second time she fasted, she felt like she had unlimited energy. And indeed, the average person, when they do a longer fast, they have it ranges anywhere from just normal energy, I feel like I always do, to a much improved sense of energy and anti-fatigue. So there's no research to back that up. And also, there's hundreds of thousands of people on social media. There's all these Facebook intermittent fasting groups where you just go in there, join one and say, hey, do you guys, when you fast, are you fatigued? And you're going to get 1,000 replies. Hell no. I feel amazing. So that's just not the case. Now, a fasting fact is that when you fast, your insulin levels are going to start to come back down to normal. When that happens, you're going to have a diuretic effect, which means you're going to urinate away a lot of unnecessarily stored water. And with that is going to go salt and electrolytes. And that's why we're such big proponents of using a good quality salt, like Redmond's Real Salt, and using a good electrolyte supplement, so that when you do have that diuresis, you're not going to have the headaches and the draggy feeling of having low salt. So when you're fasting, do not be afraid of salt. Salt is good for you, is not bad. And you actually need and get to enjoy more salt when you're fasting.
I love salt.
Me too.
We like the salt rocks. If you see me, I suck on these salt rocks. And they're just really handy because the shakers spill in your purse if you're a woman. The rocks don't. You just throw them in there and go.
Yep. And on my jeans, I've got this handy little pocket right here that my little Redmond salt portable container just fits right into it. I guess that's a watch pocket hangover. I don't know what that tiny pocket on jeans is for. pills, condoms. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, it's made for Redmond's Real Salt, that little tiny container.
My jeans don't have that pocket anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so salt definitely helps when you're fasting. A lot of people, if they feel hunger pain, they'll eat salt.
Yep.
And they say that that really helps them.
Yeah, the salt helps with hunger, but it also helps with energy because you need sodium and chloride for all of your cell membranes to function properly.
It's for coins, Dr. Berry.
That's a coin pocket? Okay.
Okay. What's next?
What's next? Another myth that I've heard lately. We covered the women. We covered that it's dangerous. It's not natural. I don't know. Can you think of one?
Let's talk about the different kinds of fasts because really confuses. And I have a video on my YouTube channel all about fasting and the different kinds of fasts because when fasting started becoming popular, it was just that, a fast. And a water fast is what most people meant by that. Or you just drank black coffee or tea with no sweetener or anything, no fat even. But now it's kind of evolved. I've got drainage, sorry. And so now we hear about all these different fasts, egg fasts, all that kind of stuff, even dirty fasting, which is really what I do. So what do you think about all the different fasts? What's the best fast?
So the absolute most therapeutic, most effective fast of all is a dry fast. And that's where you don't eat or drink anything at all. I never recommend anyone do a dry fast for more than 24 hours. And you don't have to do dry fasting at all. But keep in mind, you do dry fasting every night for 7 or 8 hours while you're asleep. So we know it's not dangerous. It's not going to kill you. What if you woke up and you dry fasted for one more hour before you drank anything, right? Then you would have a 9-hour dry fast. Then you could start. And so the next most effective therapeutic fast is a water and salt only fast where you just drink water, either still or sparkling, and you either sprinkle salt on your tongue or you lick a Redmond's Real Salt rock, or you can even put the salt in your water. Some people come to really enjoy having the salt in their water. And I don't mind it at all in sparkling water, but it's kind of weird in still water. But what was I talking about?
Fasting.
So then, you kind of dirty it up a little bit where you can drink black coffee or unsweetened tea, whether black tea, green tea, white tea, doesn't matter. But as long as there's zero carbohydrates and no sweeteners. And so that's the net. That's still very effective, but not quite as effective as just a water and salt only. And then you start fasting with bulletproof coffee, which is coffee with some fat put in it. And the reason that works is because fat doesn't really raise your insulin level. Carbohydrates spike your insulin. And then the protein raises your insulin a little bit, but not a lot, not as much as carbs. But fat barely moves your insulin at all. So you're really preserving the physiological fast of the insulin. Now, if you're going for autophagy, mitophagy, cellular rejuvenation with your fast, then you probably need to keep the fat out of your coffee. You just need water, unsweetened tea, or black coffee and salt, and that's it. But if you're just doing this for weight loss and you're starting to get hungry, it's fine to put a teaspoon of butter in your coffee, which is delicious, by the way. And I love buttery, salty coffee. And a lot of people think that's gross. Then they try it and they're like, that ain't bad, actually. I kind of like that. So you might want to try that if you never have. And that's one of the things I love about the new book I wanted to talk about, which is written by Dr. Jason Fung and Megan Ramos and Eve Mayer. It's called Life in the Fasting Lane. And it's the second book about fasting by Dr. Fung. And I put a link down in the show notes if you want to check it out on Amazon. They've got a hardcover, a softcover, Kindle, and an Audible version. But it really breaks it down for the beginner and for the layperson. So if you don't have a medical degree, this is the book for you. They make it in 12th grade English. It's very simple to understand. And they also don't beat you up. Megan talks about, you know, it's fine to put a little fat in your coffee. That's not the end of the world. It's fine to have a teaspoon of heavy cream in your coffee. That's fine. That's not going to just destroy your fast. The fast won't be as effective, but it's still going to be very effective. And I love how they walk you through it very gently, but in a very common sense way. And so I highly recommend that book, Life in the Flame.
Right. So if you've never fasted before, being fat adapted is going to help you. And here's my suggestion on where you start, if you even want to. Because really, you don't have to fast. You don't have to. But start, Dr. Barry says this too, adding an hour onto your feeding windows in the beginning of the day and the end of the day, and just extending that out. And then also you can do a bone broth fast where you can have bone broth and then modify that where you have fat in your coffee and then modify that. You just keep modifying it until you're to the water fast. A lot of people do dirty fasting, which means that they put sweeteners, but they're keto sweeteners in their coffee, cream in their coffee. Some people even drink diet Coke or diet sodas, or what are those energy drinks everybody's drinking now?
Bang.
Yeah. Some people even do that and see benefits, but you should always be working towards the purest to see the most benefits if that's your goal.
Exactly. Yeah. And this can be a very gradual, stepwise process. And I recommend that for people who are just starting out. You don't have to start this super aggressively. You can just literally start. You're already fasting 8 hours every night. Why not just go 10 hours? So add an hour on each side of your sleep window that you don't eat. There you go. Now you're doing a 10-hour fast. You can do that for a week and then add an hour on each side again. Now you're doing a 12-hour fast. And that's starting to sound impressive.
Right.
Then do that for a week and then add another hour on each end. You're up to a 14-hour fast. A 14-hour fast and above is really starting to have a physiological effect on you. And you kind of got there effortlessly. You didn't just make yourself bite the bullet and do this thing. You kind of worked your way up to it. And I love your idea. If you're currently a Diet Coke-aholic, then you can just wean and start cutting your Diet Coke half and half with Perrier or San Pellegrino. And you'll be surprised. You think it would water down the taste, but it really doesn't. We do that when we have a Dr. Pepper about once a week. Diet Dr. Pepper. We'll cut it half and half with San Pellegrino sparkling water. It tastes exactly the same. Yeah. But then you can just keep weaning down the Dr. Pepper portion and weaning up the sparkling water portion. And before long, you're doing a 16-hour fast with just sparkling water and salt. Very physiologically powerful.
And I just want to add, in no way am I drinking a Diet Dr. Pepper and calling that a health food.
Okay? That's absolutely right.
But we are humans.
Yeah. There are some of us who are addicted to 6 Diet Cokes a day.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is we're all human. And if that's what's going to help you get through the process, then I think you have to use the tools in your toolbox. And if that's the tool in your toolbox, use it until you can throw it away.
I love that.
Yeah.
All you have to do in order to get a little bit healthy is to do a little bit better each day.
Yeah.
And you keep doing that, and that's going to have an additive effect. And before long, you're going to be doing a lot better, therefore feeling a lot better.
And it's not a competition. A lot of people get caught up in, if you're in a fasting group and seeing all these people, I'm 32 hours in, and you're like, I got 14.
I fasted for 1,400 days.
Did you do
14 days
before that? No? Then guess what? You won, sister.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. When you break your own personal fast, that's the victory I want you to focus on.
Yeah.
Never try to break somebody else's fasting record, because that doesn't help you.
Seriously.
Hey, thanks for the stars, you guys.
Leah says, I was totally addicted to Diet Coke. I think a lot of people come to this way of eating on the diet foods train.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's several women on Instagram who've lost over 100 pounds drinking diet sodas to get to where they are. But like I said, is that a health food?
No.
I don't think nobody in this chat is going to be like, Diet Coke's a health food. No, we know that. But work with what you got.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. What about fasting in your immune system?
Yeah.
How does that help?
Fasting actually strengthens your immune system a lot in multiple different ways. I'm going to be doing a YouTube live at 5 with Dr. D. Nicolantonio. He's got a new book out about immunity.
I haven't set the date yet.
But I'll let you guys know when that's going to be. And we're going to be talking specifically about immunity and all of the things that you can do to boost your immunity, including fasting.
Kate sent a super chat. She said, can a man with spina bifida whose only other health concerns are hypertension and extra pounds, can they eat carnivore?
Huh. 100%. Yeah. Any human on the planet that is breathing and can swallow solid food can eat carnivore and benefit from the carnivore diet. 100%.
Sorry. Had to clean out the trash.
Oh, no.
Okay. What's another thing that we get asked a lot about? So, we kind of already talked about that one. What breaks the fast?
Yeah.
Is there anyone who shouldn't fast besides someone who's pregnant?
Not really. No. There's really no evidence that says, oh, if you have this diagnosis, you should not fast. The only caveat that I would say is if you are a type 1 diabetic, or if you're a type 2 diabetic currently on a lot of insulin injections, like 100 units of insulin, then you need to work with your doctor as you extend your fast from 8 hours to 10 hours to 12 hours. You're going to have to lower that insulin substantially, or you'll wind up with a hypo episode, which you don't want. That could cause you to pass out, wreck the car, all kinds of stuff. So type 1 diabetics, without exception, need to go see their healthcare provider or find a low-carb healthcare provider who understands fasting and work with that healthcare provider as they extend their fast and lower their carbohydrate intake, because they're going to substantially lower their insulin intake. The average type 1 who fasts and eats low-carb or keto, they cut their insulin usage by 70 to 90%. Save a ton of money, but you want to do that slowly, so that you don't have crazy high numbers or dangerous low numbers. And as soon as a type 2 diabetic is off insulin injections, then the sky's the limit. They can fast and eat low carb as much as they want to. But while they're coming down off the insulin, they need to work with the doctor.
I will mention, these are the three that I would say fast with caution.
Yep.
Anyone who has a history of an eating disorder, that could be a trigger for you. And that's more important.
Yep.
That's more important than doing a fast. It's if you're going to fall into old habits that are going to cause you harm, then just don't do it. Bariatric patients, you are already limited to how much you can eat because of the surgery. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And you can still fast.
Right.
But what you're going to do is you may never be able to do like a 22-hour fast and have a 2-hour eating window, because your stomach's so surgically tiny now that you're not going to be able to get enough nutrition in 2 hours. And so you may have to max out at 18-hour fasts and then eat 3 small meals in your 6-hour eating window. And that way you can get enough protein and fats and vitamins and minerals to feed your body the nutrition that it needs. You can still definitely benefit from fasting, but you might not be able to do a daily intermittent fast like someone with a normal stomach could. Now, people who've had bariatric surgery can definitely do longer fasts. If you want to do a 36, 48, 72-hour fast, you can totally do that. But just remember, you are a little more at risk of refeeding syndrome and having a little nausea and maybe some diarrhea when you do break your fast, if you overdo it, if you've had bariatric surgery. And so remember, it's not a race. You don't have to get to 72 hours. You never have to do a single 72-hour fast in your life if you don't want to do that. But the more you fast, the more benefits you're going to see. And so even if all you do is go from an 8-hour fast while you're asleep at night up to a 14-hour fast, and that's as many hours as you ever fast, you're going to get physiological benefit from that. You're going to get health improvement from that. And so don't feel like that you're a failure or a loser because you can't fast more than 14 hours a day. Nothing can be further from the truth. You're helping your health every single day you do that.
Right. Also, kids that are still growing, there's no reason for them to fast, and most of them aren't going to want to, especially if you have growing teenage boys, like they're going to eat you out of the house at home.
But now, adolescent boys, sometimes you can't hardly make them eat.
Really?
Yeah, they just like, I don't have time to eat. I'm busy playing. And so,
how old would that be?
Well, like from 5 to 12, somewhere in there.
But when they eat, they're going to stuff it down.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. You see how it's almost like we're supposed to do
it. You know, girls in their early teens, there's a lot of pressure on image and stuff like that.
Don't encourage fasting for those girls.
Not necessary. Just encourage healthy eating habits. That's what matters, and that's what they need to focus on. And also, I want to mention, though, that our girls intermittent fast. Well, Morgan and Abby do. And Abby's been doing it for a year now?
Yeah, almost a year.
She's 17. And Morgan was doing it for 2 years. She started when she was 17 as well. Yep. And so and they do really, really well. But they when they eat, they eat.
And they've heard me say at least 100 times, when you do eat, eat like you mean it. Do not pick around and eat like a bird and eat like a girl. You eat until you're comfortably stuffed. And so there's no danger of them developing an eating disorder. There's no danger of them becoming malnourished because when they do eat, they eat very nutrient dense foods and they eat until they're full.
Cool. I want to say too, a lot of people check their ketones and when they're fasting, their ketones are higher. Why is that? Do you know?
Well, the longer you fast, typically the deeper you get into ketosis.
Okay. Right?
And you just burn more and more fat for fuel as you run out of not only your what you've eaten, mm-hmm. but you'll run through your glycogen stores, which is the stored sugar. And then after that, you just go deeper and deeper into ketosis.
Using your fat.
Yeah. Right. And that people who do, you know, 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. and longer fast, they get really super deep into ketosis, right. which is very healthy, very good, but not required.
Exactly. A lot of people get obsessed with ketones and testing ketones. I do sometimes, but I only do it because people like to see it.
Yeah. But, if it weren't for social media, we would never check our ketones.
Yeah. If you're in ketosis, then you're good.
The other day, she checked ours, and yours was 2.4, and mine was
4.5.
4.5, and mine was 0.9 or something.
0.8, yeah, which 8, is yeah. ketosis.
Which I'm still in ketosis.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Does that mean I'm doing it better than him?
Does that mean she wins and I lose? No.
No.
It doesn't work that way. It's not a competition.
No, definitely not. I would lose if it was, because he is cooler than me.
I don't know about that. Who's cooler, me or Nisha? Come on, be honest.
I mean, you have way more subscribers, so yeah, I feel like that matters.
Is that the true measure? I don't know if it is. You're such a good singer, and I can't even carry a thing.
Oh, that's sweet. So we talked about immune.
Yep.
And immune health.
Yep.
Let's see.
There was a recent study you may have seen that the mainstream media really touted that intermittent fasting is not a good method for weight loss. And when you actually read the study is ridiculous. It's an observational study. It's not a control study. And it's based on the kind of the multiple choice questionnaires. And it doesn't prove a thing. It doesn't even really show a reliable association. But yet the mainstream media really wanted to tout that. See, fasting doesn't do anything. Just go back to snacking every 2 hours. And there's this part of me that just goes, you think their sponsors are worried about profits and they wanted them to run that story? Because, I mean, anybody who's done intermittent fasting for any period of time knows it 100% helps with getting rid of stored fat.
Nora said Beckett's cooler than both of you.
Beckett's pretty cool.
He's the coolest.
I cannot argue with that. He may make a special appearance if he's still awake.
He's been having a rough week. He's cutting 4 more teeth.
Yeah.
So 4.
He's still cool, but he's been a little bit edgy.
Not bad.
Yeah, just a little.
I'm exhausted. Supplements. Will that break a fast, a true fast?
Some supplements will. And also some supplements need to be taken with food or need to be taken with fat so that you absorb them. Okay. So what I recommend for most people is take your supplements with your meal when you break your fast. That way, because vitamins and minerals are supposed to come to us through food. You're not supposed to take a multivitamin on an empty stomach. That doesn't even make good sense that you're going to absorb much of that, right? Vitamins and minerals should come from our meal, really. But if you can't get it from the food, then you need to have it with the food. And that way you also don't run a risk of breaking your fast.
Here's a good one. How should you break your fast? What foods are really good to break fast? And it depends, doesn't it?
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah.
Some people, and it depends on how long your fast is. Yeah. Some people break their fast. They sip on some bone broth for 30 minutes or so, and then they eat a meal. I always break my longer fast with one or two scrambled eggs, which is not nearly as many eggs as I want to eat. But I'll eat those and then give my gastrointestinal system 30 minutes to kind of wake up and get chugging to ramp up my stomach acid. Then I'll eat the full meal. How do you break your fast, normally?
Eggs.
Yeah, eggs. I think eggs are just a beautiful food for breaking a fast.
By the way.
Oh, yeah. Berry Farm announcement.
The chickens have laid eggs.
Yes.
They laid A few eggs.
Yesterday, I just had an inclination I should check the nests, and there were 18 eggs in the nest. So they've been laying for a few days, and we got 4 more eggs today. So we, our fridge is going to be full of eggs. How about you?
Fresh out of the chicken's butt.
That's right.
Love it.
Yeah.
Also, fun fact, a lot of you guys who have chickens, you already know this, but when you have your own chickens, don't wash the bloom off. Because they stay fresh.
Don't wash your eggs.
You just let them sit out for how many weeks?
Oh, you could literally, and nobody knows this in the U.S., because remember in London, the eggs are just on the shelf. They're not refrigerated.
Yeah.
And that freaks a lot of people out. But unless you wash the bloom off, and that's kind of this little invisible coating, the egg will sit there for weeks. I don't even know how many weeks. It's perfectly fine because it's sterile inside. Yeah. Now, if there's a crack in the shell, you can't do that. But if it's an intact shell, that I don't even know. Probably a month. It could just sit on the counter. Okay. If you eggs in the fridge can last for probably a year.
A long time. I'll have to look up the details. But, you know, wash it before you eat it because you don't want chicken poop in your eggs.
Right. But until you're ready to eat it, don't wash it.
Also, someone asked, what do you guys eat for Thanksgiving? Well,
what's on the Thanksgiving
menu? If you're not subscribed to my YouTube channel, it's Nisha Loves It on YouTube. I think there's a link in the description.
We're live there right now.
Oh, yeah, but some people aren't on that one.
I know.
Anyways, I'll be doing our full Thanksgiving setup. We will be having a barbecue turkey. I won't be doing it. We have a friend who does it. But then also my grandmother's keto-fied cornbread dressing recipe will go up this week.
So
my grandmother's chocolate pie will be keto-fied as well.
So good.
And some other side dishes with some little appetizers and all that stuff. So if you're interested in seeing what we're having for Thanksgiving and also Christmas, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel because those recipes will go up over there first.
And I'll be having a ribeye.
He'll eat some turkey too.
Probably some turkey too. Yeah.
Barbecue turkey's good. Mm. I don't like turkey the regular way that people make it for traditional, but smoked barbecued turkey. It's pretty fantastic.
It's tasty.
Yeah, keto. Oh, I'm cheap looking. Oh, well, that's good since my role model's Dolly.
That was a compliment.
It costs a lot of money to look this cheap.
I love it.
Y'all love Dolly Parton. You know, you've heard her say that before. It's pretty funny.
Maybe they were talking about me.
They said cheap looking wife. So I think that was probably for me.
Ooh. And do you love how she took that as a compliment?
You know, silver lining. Okay. A lot of people are having cool stuff for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what you're having for Thanksgiving.
The duck is
keto
for,
fine.
The duck is for Christmas. Turkey for Thanksgiving, duck for Christmas.
Oh, I can't wait to have duck. Now, duck is a bird I can chow down on.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We're probably going to get 6 ducks. I don't know.
We'll have to because we're going to have a whole family, so I'm excited. Oh, deep fried turkey, also very good.
Very nice. Just don't use peanut oil.
Keterade while fasting. Okay.
Yeah.
So electrolyte drinks. What do you say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. And so we've got a Keterade video and we're in the process of remaking it with, we're going to do an updated version using the mineral drops instead of the fasting drops because the mineral drops have all the minerals you need and you need those while you're fasting as well. So why not just put that in your Keterade? But we're going to be posting a new video on my channel or your channel or maybe both of the updated Keterade video. But yeah, Keterade, as long as there's no sweetener and as long as there's no carbohydrates, is perfectly fine to sip on while you're fasting. Just don't drink more than a gallon a day. Another great thing that Megan Ramos talks about in Life in the Fasting Lane is pickle juice. Now, it can't be bread and butter pickles. It's got to be dill pickles with no sugar. You can sip on that. It's super salty. And it's got enough flavor that you feel like it kind of calms your appetite down so you can keep fasting longer, but it's got that good salt in it that you need. Remember I talked about that?
Hungry Heath says we're planning prime rib for Steaksgiving.
That's what I'm talking about.
I like it, Heath.
Am I invited, Heath? Because that sounds good.
Yeah, we're coming over for dinner. Also, a thing we always do during the holidays on Thanksgiving and on Christmas, we eat.
Yeah, we do. It's a celebration. It's a holiday.
So we'll
it's a festival.
Like I said, we'll have the chocolate pie and things that we're not eating on the daily. That may have a higher, like at the end of the day, our total carbs are going to be a little higher than normal.
Yeah.
But that's Thanksgiving and Christmas.
It's a festival.
It's a festival. Yeah. I love you guys sharing what you're doing for Thanksgiving. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Anybody having quail?
We had quail last year.
Yeah, we had quail last year. It was so good.
Family grown prime rib. Wow.
Oh, oh very nice.
You, lucky you.
Very nice.
Duck dressing.
Oh, you need to look into that.
What is Keterade?
I've got a video on my YouTube channel that's just titled Keterade. It's Keto Raid.
I hate that video.
Oh, it's such a great video. Nisha's so cute in it. Just ignore the lemons and limes part.
Yay! My favorite. Okay. Venison, elk, y'all.
Yes, yes,
Doing it right. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, look at this. Okay. Stuffed quail and a duck, and the duck inside the turkey.
I like the way you
Thanksgiving
think.
Level 100.
I like the way you think, Dave.
Good job, Dave. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Cornish game hens. We love those too.
Very nice.
That's what we had last year. We had Cornish game hens. No.
No, we had quail.
We had quail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One year we had Cornish. Yeah.
Duck confit.
Mm.
Yeah. Ooh, this is what? Sorry. Keto zucchini mock apple crisp. I think that Maria Emmerich has a recipe for this. I'm sure you can find multiple ones, but I bet hers is like primo.
Oh, interesting idea.
Oh, somebody said they had a vegan Thanksgiving a few years ago and it was terrible.
I'm sorry.
That was awful.
That had to be traumatic.
Sandy says, have you made liver jerky? I need a recipe. We haven't made that.
We have not, but I would totally try that. I love liver, but most of the liver snacks that I've tried, like that people are trying to mass produce, are just not great. They don't taste great. And so I've gotten a lot of samples, but nothing that I'm willing to recommend to you guys.
Yeah, I can't say. These are awesome.
I can't pretend like, oh, this is so good.
It tastes like dried liver.
It just tastes like dried liver, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but liver jerky, if you spiced it up, that's not a bad idea.
I feel like we
can
do it.
I like that idea.
We'll work on it.
Can you dehydrate in the, whatchamacallit?
No. Yeah, you can. I mean, I've done deer jerky in the oven before.
Okay, there you go. We'll give it a try.
We'll
liver jerky
coming
up.
We'll see what we can do for you guys. Keto pumpkin pie.
Ooh, keto pumpkin.
Ooh, heart jerky.
Oh, now that's an idea.
I think that would be amazing.
Jack, I like
sliced
that.
Sliced and marinated and some salt and some...
Yeah, that's a heart jerky is a superfood. Yeah, we need to try that.
Okay.
Pedro has got some venison heart in the freezer for us.
Yeah.
We'll have to experiment with
done, Jack.
Yes.
Can a woman eat just as much meat as much as a man on carnivore and not bulk up?
Yeah. If by bulk up you mean put on muscle, you're going to have to lift heavy weights a lot as a woman in order to bulk up. Now, most people, when they eat carnivore, they do carry a little bit of extra muscle than they normally would. But you're not going to just get beefy just because you eat lots of fatty meat. But what you are going to do is get rid of a ton of your stored body fat, and you may put on a little bit of muscle naturally, but you're not going to look like a bodybuilder just from eating meat. But you get to eat as much meat as you want. And if you can eat as much meat as your man eats, then
good for
do
you.
So and booyah.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
I just thought of something. So Kim Howerton, a few years back for his birthday, made a pumpkin loaf.
The recipe's on her. That was good. Just smothered in butter.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Her Facebook is The Ketonas.
Yeah.
And that was the best bread. You know how people make nut bread and banana bread and pumpkin bread? I usually hate all that shit.
Yeah.
But this was divine.
And if you put butter on it and toast it just a little.
Yeah, me too.
I want it right now. Yeah. I'm going to make that for Thanksgiving.
Please do. Please do.
Man, it's good.
And we'll have Amish butter. We'll just melt it on top and then toast it. Oh, man, it's so good.
Okay, here's a good one. Dragon HD Rider. You're pretty cool, I bet. Bet you love Game of Thrones like me. Okay, sorry. Can I do keto and intermittent fasting without a gallbladder?
Yes.
We get asked this a lot. There's a lot of people without gallbladders.
Yeah. If you don't have a gallbladder, you can 100% do keto, ketovore, or carnivore. You may have to come to it a little slower. and give your common bile ducts, your hepatic bile ducts, the bile ducts in your liver, a chance to dilate, because they can actually dilate and take on a storage capacity. Because that's what your gallbladder does, is it stores and concentrates bile, and the bile helps break up the fat. So some people without a gallbladder, if they go 100% fatty meat, keto, or carnivore, they might have a little diarrhea and stomach upset. So just instead of overnight going to keto, transition to keto over a 2 to 4 week space of time, and you shouldn't have any trouble at all.
Vesna says menstrual migraines and fasting.
Yeah.
Do you think it will help?
If you make sure and get plenty of salt during your fast and plenty of electrolytes, that's probably going to help your migraines. They'll probably get way less severe fasting with lots of salt. We've had tons of women with severe migraines reach out to us and say that keto and fasting, their migraines are gone.
I used to get horrible migraines.
Oh, you did? I forgot. Horrible. Yeah.
This is another kind of same on the same vibe. Is it okay to fast leading up to a period? I've heard rumors that it can affect female hormones and females should try to get progesterone in their diet before their period starts.
No. All that is misinformation. That's fake news. Now, the week before your period, it might be quite difficult for you to fast. And I'll let Nisha talk about that in a second. But there's no danger fasting the week before your period. There's no hormonal dysfunction. There's no reason you can't fast the week before your period. But
you may want to kill somebody. So
especially if it's the first time you've ever tried a longer fast.
Yeah, I think at that time of the month, our body is shifting into this special little spot where everything makes you a little bit crazy.
As husbands shift into the garage.
Yeah. So the first time I tried to fast, I did it the week before my period, and I struggled and I suffered, and it was not fun. I did not enjoy it. The next time I did it, it was the week after my cycle, and I thrived. I did well. I had super energy. So if you don't feel good fasting before your period, don't do it.
That's right. Yeah, there's no reason to, but there's no danger in doing so. But it's going to be more
physical
difficult.
Damage, but maybe some mental anguish.
Maybe some physical damage to your husband.
Yeah, it's a risk there. Okay. What about high blood pressure and fasting?
100%. The 90% of people with high blood pressure have high blood pressure, not because of eating too much salt, not because of eating too much fat, but because they're eating too many carbohydrates, keeping their insulin level high. Remember I talked about earlier, when you lower your insulin level, you have a diuresis. You urinate lots of unnecessary fluid that your body's holding. That makes your blood pressure go down. The majority of people, at least 9 out of 10 people with high blood pressure, when they implement keto and with daily intermittent fasting, they'll have to stop their blood pressure medicine. At least one of them, if not all of them, within a few weeks, because they'll start to get lightheaded and have low blood pressure, which means, congratulations, you no longer need that blood pressure pill. But there's no danger whatsoever for somebody with high blood pressure fasting. It's actually going to help your blood pressure be better.
Two Big Eyes says, have you smashed that thumb button?
Have y'all smashed the thumb?
Smash it.
The thumbs up button.
I mean, if you do thumbs down, it does the same thing in the algorithm. So
yeah, but I hate them. Don't do it.
It
hurts my heart.
If you're not getting someone to disagree with you, then you're not doing anything.
That's true.
That's what I've been told anyway. Yeah.
Nisha's got this one person that every single video she gets one thumb down.
Sometimes not even a minute into me posting, thumb down. Automatically.
I don't know who it is, but whoever it is, thank you.
They have to be subscribed to my channel.
Yeah, it still helps the algorithm. But it's just hilarious that she'll have 900 thumbs up and that one damn thumbs down every single time.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's see. Fasting with chromium.
Yeah, there's chromium picolinate is fine if you want to take that during your fast. It's not going to harm anything. It might help a little bit. Yeah, it's fine.
Dr. Barry is very honest.
I am very honest.
He really
sometimes
is.
To a fault.
We both kind of are to a fault. Haters gonna hate. Okay, here's one that we get asked a lot. Is liquid sucralose okay? I have it in my coffee. Am I screwing up my weight loss?
You're not screwing up your weight loss. Now, this is another great example of that degrees thing we were talking about earlier, right? So the most powerful fast is a dry fast. The next most powerful is a water and salt only fast. The next most powerful is black coffee, unsweet tea, sparkling water. The next one out is if you're putting an artificial or even a keto approved sweetener in your coffee or tea or water. You are raising your insulin a little bit, almost certainly. And I've got a video about this. It's called the cephalic phase insulin response. When you taste something sweet in your mouth, it raises your insulin a little bit because your body thinks that carbohydrates are coming when it tastes the sweet taste. Now, is this going to just stop your weight loss? 95% of the time, no. Is it going to slow it down a little bit? Yeah, but remember, this is not a race. So if you just can't do this currently without your sweetener, keep using it. But over the weeks, I would encourage you, like if you're using the stevia drops or the sucralose drops, try to use one less drop each week. So if you're using 5 drops now, next week you're going to just do 4 drops. And if you wean it down very gradually like that, I promise you, you will learn to like it with less sweetener. And eventually you'll be able to drink coffee with no sweetener at all. That's my daily thing. And back when I was practicing in the clinic before the fire, I had a little bit of coffee with my sweetener and heavy cream, right? Coffee, heavy cream, and then sweetener. But now I never put sweetener in my coffee, ever. Maybe on Christmas, I'll put a drop or two of stevia just because it's a celebration. It's a festival. But I don't even enjoy sweet coffee anymore. If I accidentally get a sip of somebody else's coffee, I'm like, oh, it's too sweet. So I just wean it down. It's not stopping your progress, but it might be slowing it down a tiny bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Reva, fasting and exercise.
And this is another big myth that they love to put articles about in Woman's Day and Men's Journal, that you should not work out while you're fasted. You might pass out. You might develop electrolyte abnormalities. You might get low blood sugar. All of that is bull. Make the beep sound. All of that is bull.
Beep. That's good.
Wow, very nice. Very many elite level athletes work out in a fasted condition on purpose. There's nothing that's going to ramp up your cellular regeneration, your autophagy, and your mitophagy like a hard workout while you're fasting. It's very, very healthy, very good for you, very safe. Many, many, many elite level athletes do this now.
I always drink electrolytes beforehand.
Yep.
But I don't consider that breaking my fast.
No, it's not at all. Yeah. And so if you're going to work out, you could take some Keterade with you, or you could take some water and a pinch of salt, because I, along with my friend Dave Feldman, we find that we have much more energy the more salt we pinch on while we're fasting.
We're salty people.
We're salty. We're very salty animals.
Jeff says, hey guys, is keto fasting good for a swelling prostate?
Yeah, Jeff, lowering the carbohydrates is going to lower your insulin. It's also going to lower your inflammation. Now, one more thing that guys with an enlarged or swollen prostate need to do is you probably need to cut out all the dairy except for butter and ghee. I've gotten a ton of feedback from gentlemen on social media that say, you know, keto helped my prostate a little bit. I've got BPH, but it was only when I cut out dairy, except for butter and ghee, that's when my prostate symptoms got so much improved. So, yeah, try keto, but if you're still having symptoms, you got to get rid of the dairy. I'm sorry. Now, if you continue to have a prostate symptoms even after you've done that, you need to go to the doctor, because there is such a thing as prostatitis. There is such a thing as prostate cancer. So you want to make sure that if your prostate symptoms don't respond to keto and fasting and dairy-free keto and fasting, you need to go see the doctor and see what else is going on.
Gene, can fasting help with lymphedema?
Yeah, fasting combined with a low-carb keto diet. We've had multiple friends in the ketogenic universe reach out to us and say, my both lymphedema and also lipedema substantially improve with keto and fasting. Now, I've yet to meet anybody who says that their lymphedema went completely away. It just gets better, because as you lower the inflammation in your body, there's less inflammation, right? And when you have less inflammation anywhere in your body, you're going to get rid of fluid, because swelling is part of inflammation.
This has been a good live, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, too.
You guys have had some really good questions. Also, I love a lot of your comments are really good.
Yeah, great comments tonight. As always, if you have a friend or a loved one who could greatly benefit from this, but they're hard-headed and just won't listen to you, feel free to share this video with them and say, hey, this is a doctor and a nurse talking about fasting. It's safe, okay? Shut up. Stop reading Men's Journal and Woman's Day and try intermittent fasting. So you're welcome to share this if you think it would help someone.
Also,
yes.
Okay, I'm like 200 subscribers away from 50,000 on my
YouTube channel. Yes.
When I hit that, I am giving away a box of meat. So
a box of meat.
A box of meat.
But not my box.
No.
Another box.
Their box.
Okay.
So if you're interested in winning a box of meat, good meat too, not like some bologna, like meat. Go subscribe to my YouTube channel, and once I hit 50K, I will do a video and tell you what you gotta do. All you have to do is be subscribed to my channel. That's the only rule.
Who thinks Nisha needs to make more videos of her singing?
Christmas is coming. I'm gonna do some Christmas songs. Christmas songs are my favorite.
Really?
Yes. Oh, Holy Night. Do you hear what I hear? That's like my favorite one. Wouldn't that be funny if you were in the background just like dancing and acting crazy and I was doing serious singing? That'd be hilarious. Okay, let's see.
Song is song, or is it built on? Sorry.
That was pretty good. My channel is Nisha Loves It. It's linked in the description up here on Facebook, down here on YouTube. All you gotta do is click on that link. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell while you're at it so you get notifications because you want to know.
That's a good idea.
When I post the giveaway video, otherwise you won't be able to enter it.
Yeah. If you're watching this on Facebook, hit like and hit follow. And then also there's a button that you get notifications because we have people every week say, dang it, I missed your live. I didn't know you were live. There's a button you can click that says get notifications when Ken Berry goes live or when Nisha goes live. And so if you click that, you're more likely to get a notification from Facebook. What else? I guess Beckett must have went to dreamland.
Poor baby. He's had a rough week.
He'll be back next week, I promise.
Yeah. I think that's the meat and gravy.
Yeah.
I don't think we've forgotten anything.
No, I don't think so either. If you want to learn more about fasting, I've got 20-something videos on my YouTube channel about nothing but intermittent fasting. So you can go in. There's a playlist. It's called Fasting 101. I've got a link in the down here on YouTube, up there on Facebook. Is that right?
Down here on YouTube, up here on Facebook.
That's right. And just click on that, and you can watch those videos at your liberty and become an expert on fasting. And don't forget to check out the book, Life in the Fasting Lane, by Dr. Jason Fung. Excellent book about fasting. The link's in the show notes.
And my turkey and dressing recipe is going to be on my channel.
Y'all, listen.
Bomb dressing. Listen,
I come from a house where the Thanksgiving dressing was so dry, you would use the entire boat of gravy on the dressing to try to get it edible. Okay? This dressing ain't like that. Granny Berry, if you're watching, I'm sorry. I love you. But your dressing was a little dry.
I hate to toot my horn, but toot. It's really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. This is Monday Night Live. We'll be back next week, same place, same time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much to our Facebook supporters and our patrons on patreon.com. If you didn't get enough of us tonight, you can become a Facebook supporter or a patron on patreon.com. And we have a live every Tuesday night in our private Facebook group for supporters and patrons. Link in the show notes.
All right.
Okay, that's it. I've had it.
I'm hungry. Let's go eat some steak.
Oh, let's go eat some steak. All right, guys.
Bye.
See you next time.